You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right, that's right, that's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
here. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Can't you hear it? Can't you hear it?
This is Tech Talk.
Is it?
It is. It is. We're trying a few different kind of lead in tunes and tracks and tips and stuff. Man, I forgot my headphones today too. My headset and
you're wearing the station's
it's
cheesy headphones.
Throwing me off.
I'm telling you,
I can't hear stuff.
Well, you could crank them up a little bit. Hey, this is Tech Talk WRLR LP Round Lake Heights. That's Michael Tech Talk Kastler. I'm Dave Sparks Saganaki here on this side of the desk. Here to bring you news, views, reviews.
Interviews. The whole thing. We've got, in fact, we do have some good interviews today. We've got, of course, the ubiquitous Jay Garman, who will be
ubiquitous.
On.
Ubiquitous.
He's always with us.
Yeah. Oh, with us, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like he's everywhere all the time. He's just with us all the time.
That's right. He's everywhere with us all the time. Well, yeah. he's got The Written Weird. He's got ViewPal.
Oh, yeah,
he's
got,
sci-fi Comic-Con conventions.
He's omnipotent.
Tech Republic. He's a Tech Republic top dude there. We somehow convinced him that we were real enough to come and share some of this enormous font of talent with us, and so
he hasn't figured out the truth yet.
No, I've been hiding it from him quite well. So he still agrees to come on and share with us some geek trivia, which we'll be doing in a little bit,
and great Greek geek
it's
trivia
all geek to me.
Question, yeah. Greek trivia, yeah, which that sounds kind of interesting. Greek trivia questions. We'll get the answer to last week's question coming up.
Absolutely. And then shortly thereafter, we'll talk to Mark Beer, who's going to do our Eye on Security. We haven't heard from him in a long time, so
yeah.
It'd be good to get him back.
I was feeling insecure, so it's a good time.
I'm sure that he'll not help with that.
Will he comfort me?
No, probably not. Yeah. But he will give you some solutions, I'm sure, to some of the major security issues that we've been seeing lately. And, of course, as we're coming up on Black Friday, or is it Black Thursday? No, it's Black Friday. It's the day after Thanksgiving. It's
right.
Black Friday. And always with the shopping comes people scamming and concerns about that, and phishing attacks. And
Internet pickpockets.
That's I like that. That's a good way to put it. We'll have to mention that to Mark. Maybe they'll use that over at PC Tools.
It's copyrighted.
Okay, that's like an email footprint for me. That was my drop in the bucket when I was talking to Matt Richtel a few weeks ago. He liked that one, so I told him I needed cred on it if he ever used it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of plagiarism going on.
Exactly. I did too. Speaking of interviews, though, one that I'm getting really excited about. We've got coming up December 13th is going to be Guy Kawasaki. And he's got a new book out called Reality Check. You probably are more familiar with his earlier book, Art of the Start. Both Dave and I are having problems this morning. I only got through one cup of coffee. I needed that second one to really get me aligned. But he's come out with another book. It's called Reality Check. I've just got it. I got home last night. I was on a business trip out in Philadelphia. I did not get home until 10 p.m. And the book was sitting there on my nightstand, and I couldn't resist. I still had to spend like half an hour, 45 minutes leafing through it, and it looks just awesome. It looks great.
Yeah. So. A famous guy. This is very exciting. And not just famous for, not like Paris Hilton, but he's sort of a pillar of the early community for the establishment of the personal computer.
Yeah, he was a Macintosh evangelist, tech evangelist, and then he was a startup owner of his own and had a number of startups, and he's still doing startups now. Went into venture capitalism and has done that and been well renowned for that. And he's just considered sort of a guru of startups and a guru for anyone who's trying to get things moving. And we've got Dennis looking for something here. He's pointing down near my seat or my crotch. I'm not sure what he's trying to get. What?
I can't believe you just said that.
Pleasure. His what?
My flash drive's in the computer.
Oh, his flash drive. He's looking for his flash drives. Okay.
And a tech guy should know that. He should have had that.
There you go, sir. He's got a nice one, too. 16 gig, man. Yeah, you don't want to let that fly.
Right.
So, outstanding. Yeah, it's technology is important. I understand not wanting to walk out the door without my flash drive. So we've got that coming up. I'm looking forward to today's interview as well. There was a lot of interesting news as well this week. Outside of technology, of course, there was the enormous fire. California is just continuing to burn to the ground, and not in a good way, and that's something, you know, our
where are the wildfires out west
and minds reach out to. It was I think San Bernardino. San Fernando. San Fernando Valley.
Right.
So and it's just from what I've been reading and seeing on the news, it's just been almost unstoppable. And then also in Silicon Valley in San Jose, there was a really tragic incident I believe it was just yesterday. 47-year-old man Jing Hua Wu, after being laid off from his job at Santa Clara startup Cyport, came back into the office on Friday afternoon and killed three people. He killed Sid Agrawal, who was the company's CEO, and Brian Pug, VP of operations, and there was also an unidentified woman. And he's still on the large, so obviously considered armed and dangerous.
It's a tragic thing, you know. And we're probably going to see a little more of that with the economy being what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, it's painful for everyone to have economic troubles and financial troubles. I think, most of us have probably been there at one point in our life if we're not there now. Certainly these types of extreme reactions to the situation just really bring to home how much people are hurting out there, and it's just it's really a tough really tough time for people. And our hearts go out for the families that were affected by that, and hopefully that can come to some resolution soon and without anyone else getting hurt. Not good stuff. So hopefully
it's
we'll
good wish,
have better
Mike.
Stuff. One thing I want to mention, too, now this is related directly to the show. You may have noticed, if you're a regular Tech Talk newsletter receiver, that you haven't received any newsletters the last couple of weeks. Now, that's partially due to my own laziness, and I will not take full credit that this is a master plan, but there has been a little bit of a plan in the back of my head for a little while here that I was going to switch from the weekly newsletter, which I thought might be somewhat irritating to people and maybe not all that useful, to switching to a monthly newsletter. And I'm going to do that starting this next month, and I'm going to change our poll. The poll right now is regarding who you voted for, or who you would have voted for if you answered prior to the election, and I'm going to change that poll, which is on techtalk.wrlr.fm, after I go to the monthly newsletter scenario to ask people what they liked better, the monthly or the weekly. The weekly had some good things to it. I mean, I put in the cool sites of the week. We're on there, so every week you could go in and just check it out. The downside to it was that I was only alerting you to the very next week's interview schedule and things like this. And I'm thinking, with a monthly newsletter, you'll know what's coming up for the month. You can make sure you can plan your month around the Tech Talk show.
Right.
Make sure that you
can better plan your listening schedule.
That's exactly it.
It's better. Your ears would need the advance notice, I think.
That's it. And it's a little less possibly a little less irritating to your mailbox. And of course,
less spammy.
Yeah, exactly.
Who doesn't want to be less spammy?
That's what I'm thinking. Because all the information that I would send in the newsletter, maybe 98% of it anyways, is all on the website. It's at techtalk.wrlr.fm. We've got the calendar there. We usually have, although I haven't been all that great about getting this updated, we've got the upcoming interview section and the past interview section and all that is all available there. You can also get all the cool sites. You can actually sign up for an RSS feed of our cool sites of the week. So, you can get all that stuff in advance. The news that we're going to hit, almost all of that I've done through Google Reader, and I share it through there. So you can sign up to be shared as part of the share part on that too. So we're going to probably switch to that. Let me know what you think of it. If you've got questions for Mr. Kawasaki, definitely send those to me as well.
Or that'd be cool.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity for listeners to ask Kai Kawasaki a question.
And there's a lot of people that really respect his opinion and his insight. And if you're thinking about starting up a company, and especially a technology-based company, this would be a good opportunity. Send those to techtalk@wrlr.fm. I've already gotten a couple, so keep them coming, and we'll filter through and take the ones that I think are the most relevant, and we'll keep them up on the screen and see how many we can plow through while he's here in the or at least virtually here in the studio. So, we should let's give Mr. Garmin a call right now and get on to some real stuff and see what we can come up with here.
It's always great to hear from Jay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jay Garmin, the written weird.
Yes, indeed. Tech Republic. He does a
hello.
Oh, and here he is.
And he does Tech Talk.
Yes, he does. And he's here with us for Tech Talk.
Welcome to the show, Jay.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
It's going great. It's so good to hear from you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just excited. We were talking about our interviews, our regulars, such as yourself, and we're later on today going to have another regular, Mark Beer for Ion Security, who he's like a monthly regular. He's not as regular as you are. Maybe it's a fiber issue. I don't know.
I'm guessing. I'm like the Jarrett Hall of trivia.
Yeah. That's good. I like that too. So it's been a week now since the election. Things have kind of chilled out a little bit, although it's been interesting watching the news and the debates with Hillary. It's great that they're showing those again and bringing those back up so you can see how angry they were at each other prior to now Obama reaching out and saying he wants her to be as the
Secretary of State.
Yeah.
That hasn't been confirmed. That's the rumor,
Yeah, it seems like a pretty confirmed rumor. But anyways,
at the very least, they want that rumor out there so that she can save face and say she was offered something.
Mm-hmm.
The political rags I read say that she's going to turn it down because she intends to run for governor of New York.
Ah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
So this is an arranged maneuver so she can say, thank you, Obama. The hatchet is buried, but I'm going to politely decline and go run for governor of New York.
Yeah.
And all is forgiven. But it makes for great theater.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, that allows her to save face and Obama to kind of, re-enfranchise himself with the Hillary Democrats. That's pretty insightful. I think that makes a lot of sense to me politically to do it that way. And I just brought that up because, of course, for the last couple of weeks, we'd been asking these political questions on Geek Trivia. But then with all the regulars that we've got, too, of course, it was great is that last week we had a question about one show that didn't have any regulars, Mystery Science Theater 3000, but did wind up having two guest stars in the course of its
actual guest stars.
Yeah, actual guest stars.
Actual guest stars.
Yeah.
Not impersonated guest stars.
Yeah, and talking about them last week too, I did go and look up some of the riff tracks and stuff like that. And it was making me really itchy. I was off on a business trip this week, so I didn't get a chance to really do anything real. But it made me really itchy to go and maybe stop at Blockbuster and rent some of those the old Mystery Science 3000 shows and things. I think you can get those on DVD still.
I believe you can. I don't know if they sell them as individual, but I seem to always recall them like you get three movies in a set. Like they weren't making enough money on just one movie, so you had to go get three.
Yep. And there was a Mystery Science Theater 3000 actual movie, like full-length movie that they did,
yes,
too. But I never saw it, and from what I saw online, it was pretty unwatchable. You just not really worth the time to try and weed through it.
Yeah, well, it's an extra layer of audio.
Terrible.
Yeah.
The movie they made fun of was This Island Earth, and which considering that they've done Monos to Hands of Fate, it's still pretty terrible, even by MST3K standards. And it, I believe it has the professor from Gilligan's Island as the actor, I forget his name, is a character in it. And they seem to really go back to that as a joke over and over and over again. It's the professor from Gilligan's Island. Okay, it was funny the first seven times you riffed on it. Let's find the second shtick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, who was it, though? Woody Allen, I think, who said, you know, if you tell a joke once, it's funny. If you tell the same joke three times, it's stale. But if you tell it 17 times, it's hilarious. Yeah, so maybe they were trying for that.
Very possibly.
Didn't quite get there. So who? Now we did have one person who answered this. It was our good friend and frequent listener Suzanne. But I'm gonna let you. And she told me where her source was too. So she did look it up. But I was curious to see if it matched. Who were the two actual guest stars that came on to Mystery Science Theater?
Well, the first one was in episode number 803, which was The Mole People, a classic.
Oh,
was one.
God, you know, I actually love that movie. I remember seeing it as a kid, watching it on, I think it was on a weekday when I was sick, and I was maybe like 8 to 10, so I have extremely fond memories of The Mole People movie, and I have not seen the Joel Hodges takedown of it, and I probably should.
At this point, it was Mike Nelson. So this is the post-Joel era. This is Mike Nelson, and this is back. This is when they'd gone to the point where Pearl was the antagonist. And Minnesota Vikings running back Robert Smith appeared as a mutant hunk slave presented to Pearl as a gift.
Oh, man.
So that was the first guest star. And for those
wow.
who don't know much about Robert Smith, he
wow.
played at Ohio State, and he famously took a year off at Ohio State to focus on academics because he wanted to go to medical school eventually. And he was always a very eccentric character. He was a great running back for the Vikings, but he was always a little off. And he was a big fan of the show, and so he called them and asked to be a guest star, and they wrote in this part for him. So he was the first guest star.
Jay, you
oh,
put
that's
the,
pretty cool.
You put the triv in trivia, I gotta tell you. Wow. I can't wait to hear
that. Was in 97.
All right.
And,
I can't wait to hear the second guy.
July 98, episode 909, Gorgo. Film critic Leonard Maltin appeared as film critic Leonard Maltin.
Oh.
Now,
Pearl again asked him to go through his vast knowledge of horrible, horrible films to help her pick one to torture the regular guests with. So,
and Leonard Maltin actually did not like a movie.
Yeah, I know, it's amazing.
Good
or at
point.
Least he was barely enough of an actor to pretend he didn't like a movie.
Wow.
And the film he found is actually pretty awful because it's the Irish version of Godzilla.
Oh, man.
The Irish version of Godzilla.
Now, do you mean the Irish dub, or is there actually an Irish version of Godzilla?
It was made by the Irish
in
Ireland.
Wow. I'm just picturing lots of dark and smoky pubs with... and very depressing dialogue.
I just can't imagine the Irish panicked. You know, I can't.
Yeah, that's true. It's a giant lizard. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. What was his weakness? Was you know, 4-year-old scotch? You know, something.
I think sobriety was his weakness.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh. What's... You gotta get a little stereotyped here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've got some Irish in me. It's okay.
Go ahead, then take it.
I'm enough of a mutt. I can make fun of most most nationalities.
I have most of Western Europe in my background as well, although it's primarily Irish, German, and English. So I'm very self-loathing.
Oh, there you go.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, yeah. You have a lot of internal battles. So.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think Suzanne did get those nailed down right. I can't remember what her source was for them, but and I don't have it up in front of me. But she did get those, which was great. She also too responded to, we had talked about the Star Trek episode where Lincoln had been a character, and I think she said it was her her son or her husband or someone along those lines who actually knew what the episode was and had that in there as well. Which of course, like I said, you know this is my problem is one of these days I'll actually prepare for a show and you know it's just gonna blow people away. I think we'll I'll have stuff up in front of me, audio cued and ready to go, topics off the top of my tongue. It'll be an amazing thing. Today is not that day, however.
Yeah.
Save that for the show nearest April 1st. Completely throw everyone off.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. And it'll all be legit stuff, and nobody will believe a thing of it. So what do you have? What do you have for us to be chewing on and cogitating this this week?
Oh, nice use of cogitating again, going that well. Well, I'm excited as a science geek because for those of you that follow astronomy news online, we finally have the first pictures of photographic evidence of planets outside our own solar system.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've heard about this, yeah.
So this takes me back, because, you know, I think differently than most humans, to the discovery of the first planet outside our solar system. We didn't have photographic evidence of it, but we did detect it. And the first planet, what they call an exoplanet, discovered, some folks didn't believe it was a planet because it had a unique characteristic different than any other planet we'd ever conceived of. So that the question is, what was unique about the first planet outside our solar system ever discovered besides the fact it's not in our solar system?
Huh.
Good question.
Interesting. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, this one I'll know because I tend to follow this stuff myself, at least to some degree. But I do not have the answer to that one. So interesting. The first extrasolar planet discovered, and what was its unique characteristic, which made some people believe that it was not a planet at all.
Right.
Yeah, and now, and this is not, however, this is not the planet that they actually have photographic evidence of now.
No.
These are a different set of planets that they were able to nail. So interesting.
And also on the planetary subject right now, they have confirmed that there are Earth size-ish planets around Epsilon Eridani, which for Star Trek fans out there is the solar system that's home to planet Vulcan. So it is entirely possible that Vulcan is a real planet.
Man, well, I think we've got our travel plans laid out then.
Absolutely.
if the possibility arises, that's we'll have to get there. See if Roddenberry perhaps had a John Smith moment or something where what is it, the Mormons? Was it John Smith who I'm going to step on some bounds
here. Yeah, let's upset somebody, Mike.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Just back away from that little landmine right now.
I think though people knew where I was going with it. And
yeah,
and
it was not a bad thing.
No. So, well, depending on how far. But yeah, at any rate, well, I did not know that. I hadn't heard that. And I don't know if I would have recognized the system, but I don't know that I would have made the connection that that was where Vulcan was. I would not have remembered that. So fantastic. So we'll keep that in our minds for this week and try to figure out and remember what that unique characteristic was, and we'll look forward to hearing about it next Saturday.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, hey, have a great week. Again, I'll remind people, don't forget about going to I was just mentioning it 2 seconds ago, the Written Weird, and also, of course, too, you're still doing the Geek End on Tech Republic, and also Geek Trivia on Tech Republic, and ViewPal is just cruising along, and people can follow you on Twitter and all over the place. We referred to you as the ubiquitous Jay Garman earlier in the show, and I think that's becoming more and more true. We just got to see you in print.
But ubiquitous in a good way.
Yes. Well, I'm working on print. It's just fewer people are willing to spend dead trees on the sort of things I do.
Well, you know, with the Kindle and Sony eBooks and all that becoming more popular, someday being in print won't mean the same thing anyways, and it'll it'll be close enough.
That's true. All right. Well, you fellas have a good week, too.
Yep,
you too, Jay.
You too. Thanks a lot, Jay. Always good to hear from you.
All right.
Definitely.
Take care. And as always, Jay Garman with just great stuff to talk about. Yeah. And
he's amazing. He just is. The stuff he comes up with is astounding.
And like you said, it's always, you know, he just takes it to a whole nother level.
He makes you think.
Every time.
He really makes you think, really piques your curiosity, gets you wondering what the heck is going on.
Yep. That's it. Well, hey, I'm going to take us out into some spots and IDs and all that good stuff. When we come back, we're going to bring on Mark Beer, who is, as you know, our regular for Ion Security PC Tools. Just a great guy to have on as well. We haven't heard from him in a while, so it'll be interesting to catch us up on what's happening with security these days. And all that good stuff. And
it'll be great to hear from him. It's been at least 6 months since we've heard from him.
I was trying to recall earlier how long it had been, and I think you're right. I think it hasn't been 6 months. I think it's been 3 to 4 months, but it does feel like that. And we were originally doing kind of a monthly thing to make sure that people were really up to date on security. So it'll be a lot to catch up on. Well, hey, at any rate, I will, we'll be back at you in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned. You're listening to Tech Talk, and come right back.
See you in a minute.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
My name is Christine Collins. On March 10th, my 9-year-old son, Walter Collins, disappeared. And a 5-month investigation led to a boy being brought to Los Angeles from DeKalb, Illinois. The LAPD told me and all of you that this boy was my son. He was not my son.
Why are you doing this, Mrs. Collins?
You have stopped looking for my son.
Why should we be looking for someone we've already found?
What the hell have you done with Christine Collins?
I know my son is out there. I can still feel him.
I want my son back! I want my son back!
A true story. Changeling. Now showing at the Marcus Gurney Cinema in the Gurney Mills Shopping Mall, 6144 Grand Avenue in Gurney. For movie showtimes and advance tickets, their website is www.marcustheaters.com or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Marcus Gurney Cinema can host your private party, has 20 movie screens, and accommodations for the disabled. Marcus Gurney Cinema creates magical movie memories.
Hi, tune in to Georgia Lee every morning, Monday through Friday. I'm starting at 5 a.m. And I do the news, but I don't do much of it because it's really boring. So I read this other news. It's alternative news. And the alternative news is really, really alternative news. But they don't like me to talk about too much sexy stuff. So I do a lot of double entendre, if you know what I mean. That's This Morning with Georgia Lee. Wake up with me.
Hey, Lake County, don't forget to tune in to 98.3 FM every Wednesday from 10 to 1.
For Midday Madness.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you heard it. That's right. Midday Madness every Wednesday from 10 to 1 right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
That's crazy.
Since Comcast came into the Lake McHenry County area as the primary source for cable TV, they have shown themselves to be one of the most community-minded companies anywhere. They graciously have provided our studio facilities with cable TV services so that we may monitor nationwide news, and with CHSI high-speed internet service so that we may stream our broadcast signal via the web to increase our coverage area to include a global audience. For more information on their basic cable, digital cable, or high-speed internet services, their website is www.comcast.com.
And we're back. I'm going to give Mark Beer a call right now. We'll see if we can get through to him. You're listening to Tech Talk, of course, and bring up Mark Beer with PC Tools.
Hello?
Good morning, Mark. This is Michael, Tech Talk Castler, and I got Dave Sparky Saganagi sitting with us here, too.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Welcome to the program.
Yeah.
Long time no talk.
We were just trying to figure out how long it had been. We were thinking like somewhere around 3 months or so. At any rate,
it's been a while. I must apologize. I've had to travel around a little bit with work, and it's it's cut into my Saturdays, unfortunately.
totally understandable. And that's fine. This is a good time of year, actually, probably to get together and start talking security again. Just as we were mentioning earlier, of course, we're getting close on to Black Friday, what we call the hottest shopping time of the year is the day after Thanksgiving. And in addition, of course, to all of the, you know, in the mall type purchases people make, they're also too doing a lot of over the internet type of purchases and doing a lot of e-commerce stuff, and there's a lot of security and other dangers and issues out there. So it's probably a good time to get talking about how we can protect ourselves from some of these things and kind of what the newer security concerns are too.
Yeah, there's it's definitely coming into the time of the year when a lot of scam messages start coming out, especially around Christmas and even more recently around the elections. It's always interesting to see what kind of emails start popping up into your inbox around different times of the year when scammers start writing different messages for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's been quite a few I know of. Every time you get used to one type of scam and phishing type of email coming through, they come up with something different and something new to throw at you as well.
That's right. And you sometimes even see the criminals, I guess you'd call them, investing in advertising even. So starting to use things like cost per click advertising with Google to get their message across, or they start using dodgy banner ads on some sites and try and get you to click through to read a survey about Obama and get you to download a Trojan that way.
Oh, man. That didn't even occur to me. Of course, that makes a lot of sense that, you know, if they're trying to make big money through these phishing, that the small investment of click-through cost would be worth it to them to get you to be roped in. So that's probably a really good point right there, is that you really can't trust anything you see, even if it's through when you've done a Google search and it's coming up on the side of a Google search. Those links could be links to malware and infected sites.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, they're always coming up with new ways of infecting people. And I think I've said in the past that it used to be quite easy to pick when someone was trying to scam you, because usually their English wasn't very good, or you know, the file that they were trying to get you to download had some kind of suspicious name. But now they're getting better and better. Like these scams that have been going out with Obama, they've been having Adobe_flash9.exe as a file that they try and make you download. And that's, to any common person, they would see that quickly and go, okay, I'll download that. It's just an Adobe update. So it's getting easier and easier just to fall victim if you don't, you know, don't keep your wits about you and don't think about, you know, what you're actually doing and what they're actually asking you to do.
Yep. And even members of the highest offices in the land have been affected by this. I saw a link on securityfocus.com where Obama and McCain both were reported by Newsweek that their computers had been breached during the summer by what U.S. officials stated were foreign attackers. And I'm sure that this was, in fact, the Obama campaign initially thought that they had just been hit by a random phishing attacks, but later on they figured that the attacks were more serious. I don't know if these attacks were directed. I don't know if anybody ever found out if these were specifically directed at Obama and McCain. But certainly, if even people who should be some of the most protected from these types of attacks are being impacted by it, it's something that we would have to worry about as well.
Yeah, that's right. I never actually saw anything to say that it was directed, but I have seen past threats that have come through that have been directed at people. I think we've spoken about them in the past, where they call them spear phishing, where they actually target heads of companies and find out information about those companies and hit them up with a legal lawsuit action, so that the person sees the email and they see details that they recognise, like the address of the company and things like that in the email. So there's more incentive to click through because they think it's legitimate. And I'm sure that people are getting smarter and the guys writing these scams are getting smarter. And there's a big bounty on breaching Obama or any political person, even if they start low in the chain of assistants and whatever in the White House, then you know, they can get some very sensitive information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no question about it. And of course, you know, if this is a machine that he continues to use now that he's becoming the president of the United States, that would be, you know, that would be quite a coup. You'd have access to very, very sensitive information. So
that's right.
So not you know, not a small thing by any stretch of the imagination.
No, we're also seeing definitely a more of an influx in scam, loan refinance alerts and things like that. So in email and even in Facebook and things like that, the scam messages that go across in Facebook, seeing people falling victim to messages to refinance their home because of the economic downturn.
Mm-hmm.
So the messages have definitely changed over time. It's pretty sad to think, you know, people are defaulting on their payments on their houses, and then they're falling victim to loan refinancing. So there's no mercy, unfortunately. If you don't keep, you know, don't keep aware of what you're doing, what sites you're visiting, things can get worse.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There's been a lot of I've seen a lot of that, actually. These mortgage and loan, like you said, the scams, and then also too just the straight up spam as well. A good friend of the show, Steve from St. Louis, he's got a blog called Money Plan SOS, and he actually just the other day put up a post about the dancing. I don't know if you've seen the dancing girl mortgage.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, now there's now there's a dancing Obama mortgage one too, which
anything to get someone to click.
I'm sorry. Say again.
Anything to get someone to click, I guess.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. You know, anything they can do. Now, recently, of course, one of the largest spam distributors, Mikola, was taken out. This is in, I believe, it was in California.
Yeah, in Silicon Valley. It's an interesting case because it raises a few questions. So Mikola was a hosting provider, and it was seen to be hosting a lot of malicious content, so spammers from other countries and people, even going down to child porn was being sent through this place.
Mm.
And you know, all sorts of things were going on. Phishing attacks were being sent through this hosting provider, and internet security professionals kind of flagged it as being one of the major ones, and they've recently actually shut the hosting service off. And since that has been shut off, there's actually been a 2/3 reduction in the amount of spam traveling around the internet. So it's really interesting, but it raises lots of questions. If these guys had no idea, or you know, if they've turned a blind eye to all the activity that was going through their servers, then they really can't even be held accountable for it. But if they if they know that they're letting people submit spam through their servers, what's the laws for that? There's new laws have got to be created for this kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that is a really interesting point. I think it does, and it will come down to that knowledge. You know, if you can prove, it's kind of like the collusion laws and other ones, is that if you know that something illegal is happening, I think that you are, you can be held liable for not alerting the authorities to that, particularly when it comes to cases of, child endangerment and child pornography and things like that. At the very least, I would expect it to be like a negligence charge. Anyways, but if you don't, like you said, I mean, as a hosting company, there's been a lot of law going back and forth. I remember even back in the day with AOL and whether they were responsible for the emails that were being sent over their systems.
That's right.
So
it's interesting now, after such a significant amount of traffic going through this one provider, you would naturally think stopping this one provider might actually hurt the internet community a little bit, because these guys are going to think, okay, let's go for multiple different providers so that we can't be stopped all in one big swoop.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been more interesting for them to actually come into Mikola and watch more closely and shut off guys individually. and catch them rather than shut off the whole provider. But I guess the investigations are going to continually go on, and they're going to look into the server logs, hopefully, and find out more information about who was actually sending everything from spam to phishing attacks to whatever else through the internet, through this provider. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good point, that they've really cut off a valuable source of information by shutting them down. I mean, everyone, of course, cheered that they were shut down, but you're absolutely right. It would have been maybe a beneficial thing to leave it up at least for a while to investigate some of these individuals. Of course, most of them, as you say, they're from other countries. There may be precious little that we can do to go after them.
Well, another thing that I'd like to talk about is PC Tool actually did a survey. We've got a program called ThreatFire, which is a free program, and it runs off of behavioral heuristics. So instead of using signature-based security, it uses heuristics. So it watches what happens on your computer, and if anything that looks to be like a Trojan but hasn't got a definition out, it'll still flag that program as being a Trojan. So it's able to catch things before definitions come out for them. So if a Trojan came out today, security companies would take a couple of days to put out a signature for them, but ThreatFire would still pick it up and block it. But we were able to use our database of users and find out the hot zones, we like to call it, within America. So the cities that have the most malware infections per 1,000 people. And it was a very interesting result. So we weren't surprised the number one spot. New York was the number one city for malware infections across the states.
Huh.
But number two was Houston. And we had Los Angeles, number three, Chicago, number four, Miami, number five. And then a couple others, conversely, Tallahassee in Florida were in the top five. So it was really interesting to see that for us. And you naturally presume that places like California, where there's a higher influx of computers and bigger population cities, you would think that there's more malware, but it was just a very, very interesting results to see where the hot zones actually were.
Yeah, that is very interesting. I mean, you're right. You would think just naturally that your urban areas would be the places that you would see higher incidence, but I gotta say that I would think, and I might be wrong about assuming this, but that your average user in California is probably a bit more educated, a bit more knowledgeable about some of the security threats that are out there than perhaps your average computer user in a state like Florida. And
definitely.
Of course, Florida too is very close to a lot of import-export business and a lot of influx of immigrants and new people into the country accessing information in those ways and trying to make connections and connect with people that aren't in the country anymore. And as you mentioned earlier, a lot of the spam and spyware that we see and the malware that we see isn't coming from inside the country. It's coming from outside. So those port areas would also make some sense, at least, to thinking about that. Now, you mentioned one thing interesting, too, is with ThreatFire is that it uses heuristics. I was reading recently about a change in the way that they're going to start evaluating the spyware catchers and the antivirus tools. And there was a situation a little while ago where Consumer Reports had gone through and evaluated a number of antivirus tools, but they were kind of lambasted by the community saying, oh, but you used 150,000 viruses or virus signatures that didn't actually exist in all this. But with the use of heuristics, of course, it PC Tools is able to kind of still catch things, even whether they exist or not. Are you guys using that not just with the malware, but also too with the antivirus and the other things that you do?
Yeah, with a lot of things. So there's some things that you still cannot catch. So bad sites, bad URLs, we cannot catch because that isn't actually doing anything to your PCs, but if you're going to a computer that's trying to download something, we can pick that up. But so ThreatFire actually runs on a set of rules that we have and we continually develop. So it's set up to catch anything from viruses to keyloggers to malware to phishing. So It's definitely the way of the future, I think, and we've started integrating it into our products, and then vendors like Norton have put out products similar as well now. Mm-hmm. It's very, very interesting technology, and also the best thing about ThreatFire is actually it's community focused as well. So we are able to get threats recognized across multiple countries of the world, and we get them sent to us so we can continually update our database, which is very beneficial, just so we can keep abreast of new threats. And the guys who work at ThreatFire must say some very interesting things. I'll try and get him on a show one day, because they can sit there and watch spikes in threats across time and countries that all of a sudden become a hotspot. So it's very interesting stuff.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, it's kind of interesting you bring that up at this time too, because of course a big thing in the news I plan on talking about in just a minute or two is with Google and how they're tracking the flu virus through the data collection that they're doing of search terms and so on. And so it's almost kind of a similar thing. Maybe people have been hearing and seeing about that, but you guys have been doing this with virus and threat stuff for quite some time, because you have that user community built in.
Yeah, that's right. So it's also we've got a threat expert service, which I think I've shown you guys before. If you go to threatexpert.com, you actually can see where most threats are actually coming from, which countries are the most prominent where threats are written, not just where they're affected. So there's two ways to look at it, where threats are coming from and where people are getting affected the most. And there's a lot of different reasons why a certain country would get affected the most. It comes down to infrastructure with their internet, and then internet security availability. I think in the US, we're probably the best protected. We've got people like Bank of America and internet service providers who offer free trials of antivirus software. So there's always an option for someone to use a decent protection software. So
excellent.
It's good.
Excellent.
I was wondering also, it was interesting talking to you about this. I use Flickr a little bit, but not. I don't use it that much. And I noticed that you use Flickr quite a lot. I don't know if Dave does. Do you use Flickr, Dave?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I'm very old school.
Are you old school?
Yeah.
I use Picasa Web quite a lot.
Oh, okay.
I do use Flickr on occasion.
I meant to say Twitter, sorry.
Twitter.
I use Flickr.
Yes. Twitter. I do use Twitter quite a lot, though.
I'm wondering if you've seen this. There's a bit of an influx at the moment of what they call Twitter spam.
Yes.
So people start adding you or following you on Twitter so that you can see their messages. So a company would add you to follow you, and then they'll start broadcasting messages to you about their products and trying to get you to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that type of spam, and I haven't followed through any of the links, so I'm not sure where it's actually taking you. But one that I've seen recently, just overwhelmingly, is I want to say 20 or 25 followers that said something along the lines of the EU is evil, and did you hear how they scammed everybody? Follow this link. And of course, it's a tiny URL link, so the link is obfuscated, and you can't easily see where it's going to take you. So being the intelligent computer user that I am, and as I'd recommend to anybody, if I don't know where the link's going to take me, I just don't go there. I have been seeing a lot of that. And you've been seeing this then to actually taking people. Some of these are taking people to sites that are putting malware and other things on their computers.
Yeah, they are. A lot of them at this stage are harmless. So at this stage, it's pure just marketing email that you'd normally receive if you signed up for a newsletter. But this is an easy. I've seen it multiple times, and I've even interviewed people who've said they work for companies like this, where they have an intern come in and they just say, sign us up for Twitter, and then just start befriending people. So mm-hmm. I'll just start following people. And then it's the same with Facebook. You just try and get as many friends as you can. And even though the percentage of total people that you've asked to follow, the percentage of those people actually decide to let you is quite low. Yeah. They're still going to get those sales every now and then. So it can be, it's pretty cheap for them to do this. All they have to do is, pay their intern if they even do that. And they can make sales out of it. So it's really interesting to see how the new social networking platforms come about, and then not long after, the marketing team at whatever company gets on board those sites and then starts scamming people. Or not, you wouldn't say scamming people, but you know, the potential to scam people is definitely there.
Yep.
And the names of such companies are like Buy Google, Wealthmaker, Money Madman, Metal Hardstock, like just weird names that you'd just see the name, you go, they're gonna send me spam messages all the time. So it's a bit of common sense, really.
Yeah, and I think you know one thing a lot of people do is they have the auto follow turned on, which is that if someone follows you, you'll automatically start following them. And I've turned that off because just for that very reason, is that a significant number of the people that were following me were these spam followers. And if you have your auto follow set on, bang, you're going to follow them. You're going to get those spam messages. But that's one way to kind of short circuit that, is I always take a look and see what their messages have been.
Where is that setting?
You know, it's an add-on piece that you have to put in. You can go in through the website on this. It was so long ago that I did it now that I hardly even recall. I should take back what I just said. In fact, I tell you what I'll do. I will take a look and see. Unless you do, you know, Mark, where the auto follow setting is for Twitter?
No, as I said, I don't use it too much, but I'm sure it won't be too difficult to find if you just Google it.
Yeah. I'll take a look and I'll see if I can report back on that next week for listeners too. And then of course, you know, as always, to remind people, if you see a link that you don't recognize, check it out, or you know, don't click through it and see what's going on. And of course, it's always extremely valuable to have. I wouldn't even say it's valuable. It's essential to have some form of protection on your computer. I mean, if you don't have, you know, you said ThreatFire is free stuff. All the stuff by PC Tools is just very high quality stuff. And I'll make sure that there's, as there is all the time, there's links for those sites and to PC Tools software on our newsletters and on the website, and people can always find that stuff. I'm gonna have to close this out here, Mark.
That's okay. Yeah, I also wanted to extend an offer to any listeners. If anyone has had any internet security issues, I'd love to hear about them. So if they can send in posts to the website, I'm sure, Mark, you'd forward them on to me. And if anyone has ongoing issues, then please let me know. If I can't personally help you, I'll get someone within the company to help you, even if it's not with a PC Tools product.
Oh, that's a fabulous offer.
What a great guy. That's a really nice thing to do.
Yeah. So if you do have any security questions, anyone out there, send them to me, techtalk@wrlr.fm, and I'll forward them right on through to Mark and to PC Tools. And if you're having an issue with your systems, he'll help with a security issue with your systems. They'll try to help you out. That's an awesome offer, Mark. Thank you very much.
Very generous.
No worries, guys. Good to talk to you as always. Hopefully it won't be 4 months before I talk to you again.
I certainly hope not as well. Maybe we can plan on trying to get back together sometime around Christmas time or shortly thereafter.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care, Mark. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Very cool.
Yeah, that is an amazing offer. So if you do, again, just remind people, Mark Beer from PC Tools is offering that if you do have any security issues with your computers, just send an email in to me, techtalk@wrlr.fm, and we'll make sure that you get some help one way or the other. We have got to get into our good stuff that we always have going on. Let's see here. That's right. Let's see.
Time for the cool websites of the week.
Cool sites of the week. And then we're going to leave you because right after cool sites of the week, of course, is going to be...
All the hits.
Zane Adams and...
Jeff Davis.
And let's see.
Two of the coolest guys with the coolest tunes. Did you ever want to hear on a Saturday afternoon?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No, they do have great music. I love driving away from the station, listening to those guys, listening to what's coming on. Stuff I haven't heard in 20 years, maybe even more sometimes. I don't want to tell people quite how old I am. But
yeah. They played one of my favorite songs last week, Benny Bell's Shaving Cream.
Benny Bell's I did not catch that one.
Yeah. Shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always... Never mind.
Yeah, I was bringing the volume down so we could hear the mellow tones of Dave Sinatra.
The vocal stylings of Sparky.
Hey,
Sparky the frog throat.
I have got some awesome, awesome stuff for you this week. The one thing I want to mention to you right off the top is the periodic table of videos. This is this is cool stuff. This is great for kids that are doing chemistry and stuff like this.
Yeah.
I'm aiming this at K-12 guys, actually probably more high school level and above. It's from the University of Nottingham. And what they've done is you pull up their site, and it's at www.periodicvideos.com. So it's really easy to remember. You bring up this site, and there is the periodic table of the elements, which if you're not totally familiar with it, it's a listing of everything: hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, you know, so on through the listing. And you can click on any one of them, and there's this mad scientist dude. Literally, he looks like he's channeling Albert Einstein with his hairdo. And he'll give you a breakdown not only of what the element is and what its relevance and importance is, but it has some just really fun little experiments that they do. And
that sounds great.
Cool and neat stuff.
If you're trying to learn that, that sounds like a great tool to help you do it.
Even if you're not, I must have blown 30, 40 minutes flipping through just to catch another glimpse of this crazy scientist guy, because he's just...
Very entertaining.
You try to figure them out. It's just but it's really neat stuff. I really think you'll want to check that one out. Here's the next one that I'm going to give you, and then we'll go back. We'll cut off and let these guys come in. Is now we've mentioned in the past. I brought up, this was a long time ago. I talked to you about making digital images large, printing them out large scale on your regular printer, and we had a program I talked about called Rasturbator. Fantastic program, still a good option. There is, however, a new one I ran up against. I just love saying it, so no, I had to bring
please,
it up again.
Please restrain yourself.
So I had to bring up another one. This one is digital photos block posters. It's called block posters, and if you go, you can make a huge poster from any image. It converts it into a format that you can print onto multiple pieces of paper. You just have to tape them together, do what you want to. It's very awesome. I'm going to give you that link and everything else. Again, if you go to techtalk.wrlr.fm, you shall see it, and you'll be able to also subscribe to these cool sites of the week so that you get them in your RSS feed, reader,
how cool is
whatever
that?
Whatever you want, anytime you want.
Automatic cool.
Automatic. There's a link right on there to sign up for it. We are nothing about serving, but about serving the listeners here. You're probably hearing the speed in my voice trip up. That is not because of audio emphasis. That's because
we have to go.
We're down to the last seconds.
Yeah,
we are.
The show only lasts so long, folks.
I know.
Tune in next week to Tech Talk.
Yes, and don't forget, we've got the podcast-only song for those of you that are listening on podcasts. This week, we're going to do one that's a special request from my co-host, Dave Sanaki. He wanted to hear the Nay-Nays, and we're going to do...
It's an Okinawan version, actually, of Bob Marley's No Woman, No Cry.